from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. When I think of the word bookish, I want to say bookwish, which I think should be a new greeting that you say to someone, another reader or potential reader. Like, it almost indicates good bookwish. I have good book wishes for you. As in, I hope you come across or are reading a book that brings you joy or whatever you're looking for. Not that I'm selling book witches, which would not be appetite, like sandwiches made from books. Or, I could have a cafe, book witch. A cafe with a book. Anyway, but really what I have is a sleep podcast that goes off topic. It doesn't make always much sense because it's never sleep with me podcast. It puts you to sleep. And these are the ways we're able to keep the podcast free for everybody. Or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, you can find them at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots. And this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I want to thank Inga and Topher, who both signed up with Grove, shared with me some pictures of the gift sets they got from Grove for signing up and making their first order. The Sleepy Supporter Zone is the part of the show where I celebrate the people who supported the sponsors and help us keep the show free, allies of the free podcast. I start the show on an upbeat note because I get to keep this podcast here for you whenever you need it, twice a week, because of people like Inga and Topher for supporting Grove. Thank you so much. Seriously, if you support them, let me know what came in your box so I can compare it with what I ordered, what I'm putting in on my next order. Or if you support another sponsor, tag them, tag me. Let them know you appreciate them supporting the show, and I can try to thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, you know, I love saying for the love of Barbara Budd, but as it happens, you do have a new podcast called As It Happens, and you help out in the show. Who else does?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes. Too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby, so
I'm making a podcast.
Writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song of the day.
And you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. Oh, now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I put a link to your podcast in our show notes, and I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, what do you say we slow down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So whether it's thoughts, things on your mind that you're thinking about, feelings, you know, emotions coming up while I talk, or remnants of ones still with you from the day, or maybe related to tomorrow, physical sensations of any kind. But you know, if you're dealing with something like that, I'm here to take your mind off of all of those and many more. You know, changes in schedule or routine, or you're traveling, or someone else, whatever it is, I'm here to help. And what I'm going to do, one, I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm already doing that. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, metaphors that, you see, is that like things resembling metaphors? Is that a metaphor? I'm not even sure, like, I think it, I'd have to say something that resembles a metaphor, something that's like a metaphor or as a metaphor. Like a combination of words. Anyway, jokes that are like things that are like jokes, or and the attempt to take a partial joke and a partial metaphor and present it as not something complete, but turning it into incomplete work. But that's what I also do. But really, I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. Now, if you're new, a couple things to know off the bat. This podcast is very different. So if it's unexpected, you might be having an unexpected reaction to it, because that's perfectly normal. You might be skeptical. That's or even on the strong side, skeptical, because, obviously you would be. It's a podcast to put you to sleep. But what are you up to? What are you doing? All good questions. And I guess the best answer, I don't really have a good answer. The best answer I have is kind of see how it goes. This podcast does not work for everybody. But of the many, 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 many users or listeners that I have, most of them say, hey, it took two or three tries, and then I realized that this is that the podcast, I had a non-realization about the podcast is how I realized it. So that's one thing, is if you're like, and if you're new, welcome. I try to welcome you, but just by, being honest. Other thing that throws new listeners off sometimes, and if you become a regular listener, you'll kind of adjust to how you like to consume the show, is the structure. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free and not behind a paywall. Then there's an intro, which is another thing that can throw you off. It's like a 12 to 20 minute. I honestly have I have a general idea what a soliloquy is, but that word just popped in my head. So I don't know if it is a soliloquy. It is a monotone monologue where I just kind of talk about what the podcast is for 12 to 20 minutes. I mean, that's what my attempt to do. That would take 2 minutes. You're right about that. But then as I try to explain things, I get distracted and I go off topic. But there's a dual purpose in that. It gives you time to wind down, to get ready for bed. It establishes a kind of, just like I was talking about at the top of the show, like if I did have a cafe, if I proposed having a cafe called the Cozy Cafe, I probably have, because I remember I talked about that dog, Cozy. This was years ago. And tonight I thought we'd have a cafe called the Book Witch. Now I just thought of, I said, how did I not think of another, could have another meaning? Oh boy, I guess this is what tonight's episode has to be about, the Book Witch, because I was thinking about the Book Witch Cafe, but now I'm picturing some wonderful, wizened character, the Book Witch. It sounds like we're going, later. When you're fully literate, you'll be able to go. And I say, I don't think I'll ever be fully literate. Okay, then when you're ready, I'll send you into the stacks to meet with the Book Witch. I'd say, okay, well, that sounds really like it's the Book Witch. Is it the Book Witch or no? It's the she the Book Witch, yeah. Would you like a Book Witch while you wait and think about if you're ready to go see her? Sure, because I was actually trying... originally I was trying to introduce a podcast to new listeners, and then I realized I wanted to start an imaginary cafe called the Book Witch Cafe, because I mentioned it at the top of the show. Maybe I should just create a sandwich called the Book Witch. What would be in it? literally... literature, I don't know, because I'm not that alphabet soup. Is that alphabet soup between two pieces of bread? No, we call those tomes here. It's between two tomes, two cover. We call them covers. I just change that chalkboard. No, change it from tomes to covers. Is that alphabet soup? I don't know if technically we could say that, because another company may own that, but... we do put a collection of, we also have a savory and a sweet version. Are those alphabets? I don't know. They're letters, cereal letters with a sweet frosting. Yeah, between two covers. Those are tarts that pop out of the toaster. And yeah, for our lunch edition, we call it, we seal it up in one of those sandwich sealers, you know. You can get them at garage sales. That's maybe the only place you can. Because if you pay more than a dollar for it, you feel like, oh boy. But yeah, it's two, yeah, okay, yeah, it is. Two pieces of bread with alphabet soup in there. You're right, you got me. Sorry, I got to get, because the only reason I admitted it is because I was got to get back to the new listeners. So the intro is a way to wind down, to take your mind off stuff and ease you into bedtime. And that's why I guess it takes a little bit of getting used to if you're new. But then as a regular listener, it'll be somewhat familiar. You say, okay, I'll start the podcast. You know, some listeners do it before they get in bed. Some get in bed. You'll see what works and say, I'm just listening to Scoots, try to get to a point, never get there. And then I guess make an episode about the book, which actually, but tonight's episode, I think I'll have to do that one day because tonight's episode's about books. And all, I mean, that's why I was, had books on the brain. So we'll have to return to the book, which, because this actually intro is for an episode I made about books I've read. So, yeah, that's what I'll talk about next. So it'll be the intro, some business, then I'll talk about a bunch of books I read from one author and my kind of personal journey with that author, and to speculate on if I can remember anything about any of the books, which is probably at least 10 to 12 mass market paperbacks from this one author. Maybe I'll read one of those books like and have a part two at some point down the road. So, and then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. There is listeners that, there's about 2% of listeners that skip the intro. And then there's a percentage of patrons that kind of listen all night and they might listen to story only episodes and stuff like that. But for a lot of people, yeah, the intro is a way to ease you into bed, and then I start talking about this author, and you're in bed, ideally cozy, distracted, here with your boyfriend. I'm here to keep you company, and this is a podcast you clearly probably figured out, you don't really need to listen to. There's no pressure to kind of make any sense of what I'm talking about, or to remember it or anything. Yeah, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. So you don't have to worry. And if you can't sleep, if you're in a position where you can't sleep, or it's going to be a few hours for whatever reason, or you're waking up in the middle of the night, I'm going to be here till the very end to keep you company. I take those of you asleep and awake. You're all really important to me. So that's the structure of the show. Those are the kind of rules around the show. See how it goes. You know, my goal is to take the seriousness out of bedtime and bobble it and then drop it all, you know, and then try to pick it back up. You know, I mean, I'm the kind of person who builds businesses around I didn't really build a business, but I thought of one, you know, a cafe that serves. And here's the thing. This isn't a terrible idea. I mean, maybe it is putting alphabet soup in its raw form, which is never raw, actually, in just putting it in bed, don't put alphabet soup in bed, please. I misspoke there. Putting in a bed of bread is not a great idea, just because my theory in my brain, I mean, it is a bit congealed, that soup. It's not in a watery sauce, but it isn't a sauce. So I would say you may have to reduce it. Or, I don't know, what if you put here's an idea. This is just a guess, and maybe some actual cooks could maybe start it on the stovetop. Maybe a quarter or an eighth of a teaspoon of corn starch mixed with triple that in water. That might work. I'd say an eighth just to see if we don't throw the taste off. So 1/8 a teaspoon of maybe a quarter. Let's try it with a quarter, though. a quarter teaspoon of water, quarter teaspoons of cold water. Mix that in a bowl or a jar, and then put it in your warming alphabet soup. And then ideally you'd have like an alphabet gravy type soup. Then this is what we do at the, what did I call the cafe? The bookwitch. That's how you make bookwitch. Maybe, because I've never made one, except in my, you know, in my imagination. It doesn't seem that great. I mean, maybe, I don't know. So let's just do it in our imagination only. It's like making a mud pie. A bookwitch is not made for regular consumption. It's a kind of thing that dreams are made of dreams, not dreams are made of bookwitches. But dreams are made of bookwitches, among other things. I don't know. Maybe there's, I'm trying to think of other wordplay with bookwitch. I think the bookwitch will probably make me choose a bookwitch, you know, as in which book, but I'm not positive about that because I haven't reached the age of maturity. Which my, you know, the part of my brain says in quotes. So I mean, you mean physically mature or emotionally mature? Because I don't know which one's going to come first. So where was I? So this is a podcast to take your mind off stuff and put you to sleep, believe it or not. I'm your boar bud, your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz. I send you bookwitch wishes. I won't send any bookwitches because they'll definitely get returned. And I'm not good at, you know, I'm good at sending wishes, but I'm not good at actually sending things. So I'm glad you're here. I really, really appreciate you coming by and checking out this show. Give it a few tries, because I really hope it helps you fall asleep, but it does take a few tries for most people. If you discover or you've already discovered the podcast is not for you, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou to check out other shows. But I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I really want to help you fall asleep. And here's a few ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away because it's just there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show or you decide to put out way, way less episodes or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. And yeah, it'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of this show because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, hey everybody. This isn't new. You know, some listeners like really boring content. Some listeners like content with a little bit of imagination, and some listeners like the stuff with the personal touch or purple touch. I wish I had the purple touch. If there was the story of King Scooter, it'd be the king with the purple touch. But actually, that was Prince, so I can't really. So Prince was the one with the purple touch. But where was I? So, so I had this idea for a new, like, occasional, whatever, trending style, I guess, yeah, kind of trending style episode with a little personal touch to it. I don't think it's quite, this is quite the right title, but I think it Did I Read It or something. Like, I think Letterman once, David Letterman, who some people might not be familiar with, but David Letterman did a Will It Float Once Upon a Time. But this is Did I Read It, which I guess was similar to Tale of the Tape, but Did I Read It? But I thought I'd do it in a way, and I guess wondering where I came up with this idea. So we'll unpack that. We'll talk about the first author we're going to be featuring, which will be very unexpected to most of you. And I'll talk about that. So let's get started. So I don't know how I thought it. So I know I thought of this recently because I was walking the dog and I was thinking about this author, walking Koa. Sorry, excuse me. She corrected me. She said the dog. And I said, no, the dog, like underscore, underlined with quotes. And then she sighed. So, okay. So I was thinking about this. So I don't, something happened. My brain thought of something. Then I walked the dog. Then I was thinking again about the thing I'd been thinking about, which in this case was an author in a book, and saying, huh, I kind of barely remember that book. Then I said, huh, I wonder, I had thought about this before in some way, because it's kind of like a part of my childhood or my teen years. Oh boy. At least people, you could wake up tomorrow or in the community so around the show say, wow, boy, did you hear about Scooch talking about his teen years last night? It really was a snoozer. Holy cow, I thought it was going to be revelatory. And it was. It just underscored, you know, why we appreciate that he makes a sleep podcast. I'm pretty sure it was my teen years. It might even have been in my 20s, now that I'm thinking about it. Not 100% sure on that. But so, I don't know how much time we'll have for this author now that I'm trying to unpack all this. So I thought it'd be, and this might be a two-parter, possibly, though I just started a book. So I wonder if this author is even in the the library for ebooks. You know, I mean, I know you could probably purchase it. Again, I'm not trying to throw any shade at either. I'm just trying to buy time for my brain to remember what made me think of this author. I mean, the author is has a few blockbuster movies, none that have come out in the last, I think the last movie probably came out 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe there's one more coming. I don't know. Really good movies, or pretty good, depending on what you like. I don't know, maybe this is the only thing I can think of, and this is really a stretch, and I'm not even positive. And here's a question. Who doesn't love John Krasinski, John Krasinski, right? Or is it Josh? I mean, I do. And so I know on Amazon Prime, which I think is what I used to watch a couple shows for the podcast, there's been ads for his Tom Clancy show, Jack Ryan. And this isn't about Tom Clancy, though, so spoiler. And I said, okay, one day I'd like to watch that show, and I actually know somebody that's a big Clancy fan, so I said, why don't you, have you watched that? Here's a strange coda to all that, is that, so I was visiting a family recently for a couple nights, and one night I didn't realize my dad was a big Jack Ryan fan, and season 2 had just started. Talk about something somebody should be paying. Hey, Bezos, send me a check for this, all right? But so I watched a couple episodes. I did enjoy it. Like, a great cast, as I said. And my dad really likes it. So my mom slept through it. But I think she'll probably watch him again because he was talking to her, even though she was asleep, about everything. It was like watching it. I don't know if people watch TV very often with their parents, and I don't want to make generalizations, but it was a bit like watching it with a DVD, whatever, the second. So there was the main audio, And then there was my dad's commentary, which was more expository or revelatory or what is that? RFQ, request for information from my mom who was sleeping, saying, okay, wait, is that? And I said, like, and actually it was an unspoiler because when it first started the episode, it was season 2, episode 2. And he tried to fill me in on everything, which probably, and then the person they thought was up to no good, actually, I'm pretty sure that person was not. So that actually added more tension for me in a good way. And then I said, well, this character's somewhat likable. I'm surprised and then I said, I'm confused at what that character's up to if they're up to no good. If you're a fan of The Wire, you'll be happy with some of the casting. There's also a character that always reminds, like an actor. Unfortunately, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he always reminds me of one of my friend's dads that when I first met them, I wasn't too sure about them because they like coach sports. And then I came around on them, but never 100%. That's like Jack Ryan's one of his bosses, you say, I want to like you and trust you. And I kind of do like a magnetism in at the same time, saying, huh? And he's got a great voice. So where was I? So that has nothing to do with that. So that may have been what triggered me. I'm trying to think of what else it could have been. That triggered, it didn't trigger me. I mean, that guy, that good dude does a little bit. That is said, huh. Then I was walking the dog, and then I thought about this author. Maybe it was just when I had a list of ideas for the podcast. I don't know. But I thought of this author that I read almost every book of theirs. It could have been also that another author, I guess this was more it, that I've read a lot of another author. In the last 2 years, I've read a lot of books by one author. And I think I read three out of the last, not now, I've read other books since then. But at the time I thought of this idea, out of the last four books I read, three were by the same author. And I started to kind of see the archetypes of that author's writing, which you would only notice if you've read a lot of those books in a row, where you say, okay, enjoy this, but I kind of see, oh, okay, this is a theme. That, I mean, probably the same for people who listen to the podcast, right? And I guess that was it. Sorry about that, John and Jack, John and Jack. John and Jack, is that the same name too, huh? Also very tall. John Krasinski is very tall. Even my dad during his commentary was commenting on how much taller he is than all the other characters. So it turns out Jack Ryan's tall too. Also, Jack Ryan's been portrayed by many people. Alec Baldwin, John Krasinski, or Josh. I should know that because there was one time I was listening to a podcast when Juno came out, and he was talking, never mind, now I'm never going to remember any of this, Jason Bateman, actually. He was talking about Jason Bateman going to Jason Bateman's house, and Jason Bateman giving him a hard time because he had ankle socks on. I mean, as a friend, Jason Bateman's so friendly and gregarious. Oh, it's gregarious. Thanks, Jason. Glad you're here to keep an eye on my, So anyway, I was thinking of this author. So maybe that was it. I'd read all these other books recently, and I started to see some patterns emerging with this one author, and it reminded me of the first time this happened to me that I know of was when I undertook reading, and actually this is when you had to buy books in the bookstore, and this author was not all their books were, now you might see them in a used bookstore, but at the time, I think they just did a reprint of all of their books in mass market paperback. Also, this was in the 90s, but the books I think were all, a very 80s and 90s author, Robert Ludlum. And at some point in the 90s, I guess it was like I decided I was going to try to read all of Robert Ludlum's books that were currently out because I enjoyed one or two, like I enjoyed them. And then I read them to where I was like I read too many in a row. Must have been in the night, maybe it was in, like, because it was also like I was reading a lot of them, like when I was working, like I'd be on a break or something or waiting for somebody, and I would read a, like I'd just keep a book, especially a mass market paperback, you could keep with you at all times, and I did really enjoy them, and so I was going to go through, I was going to tell you a little bit more about Robert Ludlum. I did do a basic vetting because they said, what if this guy, like, I don't know, like I said, I haven't heard anything about him because he passed away, like maybe like 15, 20 years ago. But I did say, like, what if, you know, he's not the greatest guy or something. But he seems like he was, so I'll do a little bit of it. I definitely didn't read all his books. And I'll talk about him. Then I'll talk about my first experience, my first Ludlum experience, Holy Mackerel. And then maybe run through, then like with the remaining time, like I'll make a proposal and then I'll run through some other books and see. I'm hoping I could like just go by the, like go to the cover art too. But this is from Wikipedia. Robert Ludlum, it's spelled L-U-D-L-U-M. 1927 to 2001. Now he's up there, having adventures in the sky. Author of 27 thriller novels. And then we'll talk about the most famous ones in a second. But the number of copies of his books in print is somewhere between 300 million and 500 million. 33 languages it's been published in, 40 countries, also written under the pseudonyms Jonathan Ryder and Michael Shepard. He's born in New York and lived also in Naples, went to Wesleyan, New York City. His maternal grandparents were English. He got a B.A. in drama. Set one of his novels at the fictional Carlisle University, which was like Wesleyan. He was a Marine and a theater actor and producer. He did the shows in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Playhouse on the Mall at Bergen Mall in Paramus, New Jersey. And that might have helped his understanding of energy, escapism, and action that the public wanted in novels. He once said, I equate suspense and good theater in a similar way. I guess I'm theatrical. Many of his novels have been made into films and miniseries. Which I don't think I've seen any of them except for one. Miniseries. Although storylines depart significantly from source material. During the 70s, lived in Leona, New Jersey, where he spent hours a day writing. Let's see when he wrote his first book. So 1927... Let's see when his first book was published, 77. So again, a perfect example of the falseness of you can't have a third act. Now, writing analysis and criticism, this is according to Wikipedia, though, they're typically like heroic novels, what do you call that, with an uber, whatever they call that, uber type. And I think this is where, after reading a bunch in a row, I kind of fell out of, I don't know. I don't remember, I just had too much, much like my relationship with, sweets and stuff, where I say, did I tell you, I don't think, I'm recording this before the holidays, 2019, and I never thought I'd say this, but I don't think I can drink any eggnog this year. I had too much of it the last 2 years or 3 years, So much like, so anyway, again, like going against, this is very like Cold War and post-Cold War. And I think he was one of the people that was able to make that jump to like say, well, what fictional device can we use to replicate the power of the Cold War espionage to create thrillers? Like what other kind of like super baddies can we make? So basically, yeah, that's it. Well, that's the filmography. Interesting. Oh, so that wasn't when his first book was published. That was when the first book was made into a movie. It was when he was 50. So I don't know. We'll have to find his bibliography. It's supposed to be in 3. Oh, yeah, so I got to click on it. That's why. Oh, but it was 1971. And I think, yeah, so he was still like in his 40s. So, yeah, 27 plus to 71 is 50 years would be 77. 40 years would be 67. So 44. Yeah, and looks like he put out a book almost every year. A couple of years there was a little bit more time between them. And I think now he's kind of a brand, which we know, well, I know because I like as a librarian, when I was working in a library, there was a lot of requests, especially for his newer books based on his characters under the Ludlum brand. It looks like, yeah, even he wrote a couple, co-wrote a couple books, and then in the 2000, the aughts, and then became a brand with other people writing under his thing, which is pretty common now. And this is interesting because there's a lot. I didn't realize how extended his universe had become. So that's interesting. So I guess the first Ludlum book I read was definitely probably something my dad had read and left lying around in the summer. Wow. So it had to be. It was after 1990. Yeah, so it was in the like some point after 1990 because it came out in 1990. And actually, I'm seeing a bunch of them that I read. I see another one my dad had probably in one that he had in paperback and one he had in. So I can see the first three to five books I read. Yeah, but I'm almost positive the first book I read was well. Now I'm confused. Because I said, well, it could have been this other book. But I'm pretty sure the first one I read was a book called The Bourne Ultimatum, which was a movie, a series of three films with Matt Damon, right? And but the book is not very... And it was the third book in the Jason Bourne series. But it was the first book I read, which you don't necessarily... That's the cool thing about these books, I don't know. So I definitely read this one first or second or third, but it's the first one I always remember because I only remember the end of the book for the most part. And so the character is similar to Matt Damon's character, but this was set in the 90s. So it's a much different setting than the films, but like an ultra able hero. With nearly superhuman abilities, even though he's supposed to be human. And Jason Bourne had like a sworn enemy that I don't think is in the movies, Carlos the Jackal, which became, I think, like almost like a meme back in the 90s. I'm not sure if it was actually a real thing too, or maybe, I don't remember. But I remember in this third book, what was cool was... And I'll have to reread that one. So Jason Bourne was somebody that, much like other heroes, even superheroes, was like, we're going to make you into, like, the, how do I explain this in a sleepy context? Someone discovers this person has, like, aptitude for heroism. And they say, oh, okay, well, we'll do, like, we're going to take your memory and make it a little bit hazy to give you ultimate training to be the ultimate hero. So there's usually, like, they don't have a lot of memories, or they're trying to, like, one part of their character arc is, like, trying to connect with who they thought they were, or who they originally loved, or reviving their fragmented memories. And also then the A stories, a lot of times, like, a world stakes, you know, so something's like the world balance or something is at stake, but also their human balance is at stake. And I think in the Bourne Ultimatum, it was the ultimate, like, Jason Bourne adventure. I think it might have been supposed to be the last one. And so in this story, the only thing I really remember, and do I remember this book? I remember reading it and saying, wow, this is cool. And the coolest part was the set piece at the end. So I think in 1990, my history's horrible, but I'll assume that was like during, as things were changing, the end of the Cold War or the slow wind down after the Cold War. So it's written with still some Cold War aesthetic, and the set piece at the end, it was like, I think it was like Carlos the Jackal and the KGB were working together, and Jason, probably they had some personal stake for Jason Bourne, you know, to say, well, you just, like, let us take over the world or else we'll use this personal stake against you. But he ends at this KGB training facility, which was kind of like unbelievably cool to me, and like just imagining it, because it was like set up, like it was huge, and it was like all these different towns. It might even had a fake theme park where you could train, I think, to be like undercover. I don't know if this happens in the Americans. I'll have to watch. That's on my list of things to watch. That's basically the book. They end up ruining the whole place as they go after one another. Whoops, I clicked on the wrong book, even though I remember that one too. So this one, the Bourne Ultimatum, came out in 1990. And I think this is a version, the first edition. I don't think I read the first edition, though, because it looks kind of familiar, but only because I wonder if there's other editions. There's two. Oh, yeah, maybe there's a paperback. This must be the hardback version. So I'm going to open up two different things here. Okay, I wonder if they re-released the book, like, with the plot from the Jason Bourne movie, because the plots are nothing alike, as far as I know. Looks like there's actually a lot of older ones, too, or maybe they were released in other worlds, but this one, let's see, what is it, Bantam Books is the one I read, the mass market paperback. And Ludlum, I assume, was like a really big deal because his name is like 10 times bigger than the, like, it's like, it takes up most, like, it takes up 50, no, it takes up like 60% of the cover, I'd say. It says number one New York Times bestseller, Robert Ludlum. Then it has a picture of a shell, which I think was like something like the Nautilus. I don't know. It somehow symbolizes Jason Bourne. Then the Capitol Dome, and then a railroad tie, or a railroad spike. And none of that rings a bell about the book. So this would be one I should reread. So let's see. Any other stuff that we need to know about this book? I mean, mostly it's about the thing. I know it's nothing like the movie. So I guess, yeah, I don't really remember anything about it. So that doesn't really do us any good for much other than that was the first book I read. I really enjoyed it. I really liked the ending. It was like a real big set piece, which, again, wouldn't make sense in a movie. Maybe they redid it another way. I don't know. Like, because I really don't remember much about the movies either, other than they, like, used technology and they were really thrilling. It just, my brain doesn't remember them. I'm surprised it came out in 2007 was the last Bourne movie. But so the second, so that would have been either the first or the second or the third book I read. This other book was another sequel, it looks like, that I would have read. It came out around the same time. This was 1992. And this one, maybe this was the first or the second one, because this was like a comedic thriller, The Road to Omaha. And it was a sequel to a, maybe this was what got me into it, because that was kind of my thing, was like, at this point, I'd already read, Hitchhikers, and I had read some Vonnegut. So I was really like, it was funny that then I, like those two things, the next thing I know, I'm reading Ludlum nonstop. But I don't know. So this was a comedic thriller. It sounds a little bit problematic to me. Sam Army lawyer, Sam Devereaux, who gets caught up in the schemes of General Mackenzie the Hawk Hawkins. The cover was like of an eagle, and it says a road to Omaha. It has to do, and the eagle has a Native American headdress on. So as I say, this seems a little problematic. It's a sequel to the book, The Road to Gandolfo. Hawk has discovered a long-forgotten treaty between the U.S. government and a tribe of Native Americans for the state of Omaha, or the land underneath the state of Omaha. Which includes a bunch of, it's giving away the plot because I don't remember anything about this. And this is according to Wikipedia, which includes like a couple big air bases. And I guess Hawk tries to bring a suit against the United States to give the land to the tribe. Devereaux, who was retired, is now representing them. And that's about it. Let's see if we have any other information here. It came out in 92. Paperback came out in 93. I think my dad had the hardcover of this book. He might still have it somewhere. And so then I probably would have read Road to Gandolfo next, just because that's, that's kind of how I roll. Now, The Road to Gandolfo was written under a pseudonym, Michael Shepard. And yeah, it was about the Hawk, Hawkins, and he gets kicked out of the army. Oh, this one I definitely read, because he just goes to, like, he's over the top, the Hawk. And the only person that can help him is Sam Devereaux, who gets caught up in his schemes, and it looks like Pope Francis is in the book. This is a humorous novel as opposed to just a straight thriller. So that might have been why I liked it. But this one came out all the way. Well, the paperback came out in 82, but I didn't read it until the 90s. I wonder if there's a picture, because I'm going to have to find a picture of that one. Because I definitely don't. The one by, I think by the time I read it, it was a Robert Ludlum book. Yeah, so it looks like there's a bunch of different covers. I do see the cover I read. But yeah, he had a bunch of, obviously, he's had a lot of different re-releases. There's even an older one that has like a thriller type one, like a Agatha Christie, that era. I guess that was the 80s, huh? I definitely read it during this Bantam era, I think, and there are used copies. And I'm not going to read this one, though. I'm just going to try to read that, the other one. But yeah, so this one, the cover, this is The Road to Gandolfo. Oh, of course, when I click on it, it brings up another cover. That's not what I wanted. This one, it looks like it says Robert Ludlum up on top. It's red with like concentric circles. It says The Road to Gandolfo. The scintillating, how do you say that? Scintillating national bestseller by the author of The Aqua Teen Progression. and it shows like a person like the Pope getting on a helicopter, as far as I can see, which isn't that great, you know. So that's interesting. So let's see. I go to Robert Ludlum's author page. He's in a he's standing in front of a marsh in a raincoat, which looks familiar. So that must have been on a lot of his books. Yeah, and this doesn't really have any pictures. So let's jump back to his page here. So that's The Road to Gandolfo. Probably, but these sound like books I would have enjoyed, particularly with like the streak I'd been on, because in high school, that's when I discovered Kurt Vonnegut and Douglas Adams, which was strange. But those were what I was reading during the school year for pleasure. This was in the summer. These were like my summer reads. And of course, we don't judge people's summer reads. So then after that, I guess I probably would have gone through the other two Bourne books next, which would have made sense. So would I have jumped back to Bourne number one? I guess so, which is The Bourne Identity. And so I would have read this in the 90s at some point, but it came out in 1980. A spy. So this is full on. What do you call it? And I think the Bourne movies were a little bit, I mean, they were set in the whatever aughts, right? Yeah, but it was a spy thriller with Jason Bourne, a man with remarkable abilities. And everyone's trying to catch him. You got to catch him. Just like Pokemon, you know, just like Pikachu feels. Got to catch them all, or Pokemon, whatever those, you know. Jason Bourne was the original Pokemon. He said, but it was all got to catch him instead of got to catch all got to catch him instead of got to catch them all. Peter Cannon of Publishers Weekly said The Bourne Identity is one of the best spy novels of all time, and with up there with the Lacara, his spy who came in from the cold. It was a television movie of the same name with Richard Chamberlain and Jacqueline Smith, and then a 2002 Matt Damon film. Let's see. So a preface of, there is a real Carlos the Jackal, I guess. So I'm just trying to figure out too much without ruining the point, not reading the plot. I don't remember anything about the plot. Let's see. The name Bourne, I don't want to look that up because I don't want to, I mean, I'm not super worried about spoiling it, but it's interesting. It was a 1988 television movie and a 2002 film that was only loosely based on the central premise. And I'm trying to find the cover, and now we'll try to find the cover of the book, because the one on Wikipedia is definitely not the one I read. So I definitely, from being a librarian, remember the two more modern versions of the book, or actually three. I definitely read it in this, again, the Bantam era, I think that's the name of it, because this is definitely the one I read. It was read. It says it's the same as the other Bourne books that I read. It has a big Robert Ludlum, The Bourne Identity, then a shell with a railroad tie, and maybe a person's head. I don't know if that's a person. I mean, isn't it always they're trying to find, like, their child or their lost love? How come, here's the thing that a mother might say, or a grandma, you know, how come they're not trying to, how come Jason Bourne's not trying to get home and find his mother? And check on her. You know, she's been wondering where he is. He hasn't called in 25 years and, or whatever, 40 years. And she'd like to know that he's doing good. The Bourne caller ID or something. Like, call your mother already. What are you searching for your lover for when you could find your mom? And, you know, just check, just come in and check in already. Or, you know, I know, I'm a dad. Okay, please, you know, what about his sister or his best friend or his dad? Oh, plays ball with his dad. Okay. But I think his mother would be the most, you know, likely. So they would just get the most like, say, hey, already call your mother. Then there was a Bourne Supremacy. The book came out in 96. Again, I don't think I read this till the 90s at some point. Yeah, let's see. So some of this, I just saw Treadstone, which I know is one of the things from the movie. It's the second Jason Bourne novel, a sequel to Bourne Identity, precedes, of course, Bourne Ultimatum. Gave its name to the second film. It was completely different plot, though, so that's good news for anybody that doesn't like spoilers. So I don't want to do any like spoiling here either. 597 pages in the first edition. Starts in Maine. A lot of plot. A lot of plot on Wikipedia. That's all it is. Let's look it up, though. Let's take a look at the cover. That's what I'm interested in. Are we right or are we right? Here we go. So it's coming up here. You know, good old images. Image search is good for this stuff. Okay, I'm not seeing one I recognize reading the book. So at this point, I was probably on my own to find these books, which we go to the bookstore. Or maybe it's this one here. Huh, that's strange. Like, usually, you know, I don't remember much, but, you know, since I'm a visual, oh, here we go, I found it. Oh, no, that's a Bourne Ultimatum. I'm looking for the Supremacy, dudes. Oh, here it is, I found it. Something, it's a kind of a blue and a neon hot pink. And it says a Bourne Supremacy. It has the shell with the railroad thing. And I can't really see in this picture what it is. There was an earlier edition, or the original edition, which had a more stylized cover with maybe a picture of Jason Bourne and then what looks like a painting of a woman's head. Yeah, and then I guess I wonder if Matt Damon's on the cover, is it like a... Is it the original Jason? I mean, I'd be disappointed if I saw the movie. I'm just being honest. And then I went and the book was nothing like it. I mean, some people could be surprised. Oh, another thing I forgot is that one thing I was impressed with, just because I'm who I am, is that almost all the books started with the, except for one book from 1973. Which is Trevane or something. I don't even know how to pronounce it, which I think was made into a movie. So let's see if I could go through these and think about which ones I've read. The first book was The Scarlatti Inheritance. I probably did read that just because I probably did at some point say, let's just go through these in order. Or it was like one way to say, to like set myself at the bookstore. Because this was back in the 90s. You had to go to the bookstore to buy books. And I think with someone like Ludlum, and it looks like they had done a reprint right around the time I discovered it, was probably pretty easy. So Scarlatti Inheritance, probably. What was it about? Probably some kind of heiress. I don't know. Or some sort of, I don't know. Maybe we'll look into it. Osterman Weekend, probably. That was a movie, though, that I've never seen. The Matlock Paper, definitely. Trevane, I don't remember. Cry of the Halidon, maybe. The Rhineman Exchange, maybe. That one is not a very, I mean, a couple of these you say, okay, Matlock Paper, that's good. Scarlatti Inheritance, I don't know why I like that name, but I'd say, yeah. Osterman Weekend, I'd say, well... Matlock Paper, that's even without Matlock, because you'd say, okay, Cry of the Halidon. I don't know, there's something in there that's not, and same with Rhineman Exchange. Road to Gandolfo, Gemini Contenders. Now that's a good, I don't even know, I definitely read that. That's probably about twins that are up to no good. I read that. These ones I definitely read. Chancellor Manuscript, The Holocroft Covenant, Maltrese Circle. Because that almost sounds like the Maltese Falcon. Those are all good. I definitely read those. A Parsifal Mosaic. I don't even know. That one's hard, but I probably read that. Aquitaine. These are hard to say, too. Aquitaine Progression, maybe. Inborn Supremacy. Icarus Agenda, definitely read that, probably just because I like Icarus. Born Ultimatum, read that. Road to Omaha, read that. Scorpio Illusion, probably. Yeah, just that's a great title, Scorpio Illusion. You say, yeah, I'm not a, I wasn't born, I was born in a totally different month. It was totally an illusion. Apocalypse Watch, probably. Moultrie's Countdown, now we're in the late 90s, so probably I didn't read any of these after this. Hades Factor, Prometheus Deception, Cassandra Compact, and Sigma Protocol, Paris Option, Janssen Directive, Tristan Betrayal, The Altman Code. So I definitely didn't read any of those. Prometheus Deception would seem like something I've read, or Hades Factor. But I don't think I read any of these after nine. Maybe Apocalypse Watch might have been the last one. But I'm not even sure about that one. So let's look at that. Let's just look at a couple more. Oh, it's a TV movie. That's why, probably. Virginia Madsen and Patrick Bergen. Oh, it's the second of people that are up to no good. Drew Latham. This was a... I think maybe I did read these, or maybe I did see the movie, because let's see the first book. The Holocroft Covenant was in 78. Oh, boy. This is, yeah, this is, it seems like it's pretty, like, yeah, this one is, so this one's just tough stuff that he covers in this stuff. Holy cow. Of course, with these titles, so some of them are like, okay, let's see a Scorpio Illusion, because they said that's a pretty good one. Suspense, drama, action, and thriller. Tyrell Hawthorne, Naval Intelligence Officer, one of the best. Called out of retirement. So, yeah, this is, I guess, where you start to see where I'm like, okay, what is it like? They keep calling people out of retirement. It says this novel consciously draws on Freudian theory to add depth to the dominant characters. A factual error in the novel. So not too much on there. Came out in 93. Probably read this one, but not on the cover they have there. Let's see, Icarus Agenda. That'd be another one. Probably not going to read any of these. This one looks interesting, though. The cover is not one I read, the first edition. It shows a White House with, like, either, like, lightning bolts coming out from it. Let's see, Evan Kendrick, a congressperson from Western Colorado. Friends with the Sultan of Oman. Somebody goes undercover. Well-known architect. Should I read the Bourne? Was going to read the Bourne Supremacy, right? Let's see what this Parsifal. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Mosaic. Michael Havelock, counselor ops, love of his life. I definitely read this one. KGB. This one's a spy novel, a whole nine yards. Came out in 82. I read it in the 90s, but so you could kind of see there's usually one main character. You know, torn loyalties, family thing, and then let's check the Moultrie's Circle. Probably read this one. Anthony Blackburn. Separate people go to the big farm, and then Brandon Schofield. He has to team up with Vasily. To Lincolnoff, which they never got along, and now they have to work together. So those are, I like that idea. Someone in Washington forced into retirement instead. So this might also have, Yeah, definitely like spies, mafias. These are a bit like those like Pulp Fiction. I mean, those books, that style of book, like actual thriller novels, like the ones that are a bit like Westerns. Yeah, let's finish up with the Gemini Contenders. This came out in 76. Italian Alps, Mysterious Cargo, and a secret brotherhood of priests trying to locate the cargo. Okay, so this sounds like, Gemini Contenders, where's the Geminis? Immensely wealthy family, you know, secret order, and a bunch of other stuff. Brother versus brother, here we go. Yeah, so I guess it's like each brother's searching for it. One's good, one's not good. So, it's, you know, remember that was that in the 90s or the aughts when that, were those books that came out that were really popular that Tom Hanks was in the movies about? Yeah, I mean, I guess the Ludlum was my version of that, but he had more books for me to go through. What was those called? I have no idea. I almost thought of it. Da Vinci Code. Yeah, those books. Right. But those ones were more, everybody was like, the Da Vinci Code came out super popular and it hit super tangential discussions about it. And then the next couple books came out too. So anyway, I don't know. This is interesting. A little interesting stroll through some of my, not childhood reading. I guess it was in my 20s. Some reading I did as young, even though I was like whatever age I was still a tween. Thanks. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that recently reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, Beanwell XO. So Benwell, Beanwell, hug and kiss from the UK. I adore this podcast. Best thing to help me sleep. Really soothing. Helps to leave a lot of the stuff when I'm sleeping without my partner. Always used to fall asleep to the TV. This is better and more soothing. Thank you very much for making this podcast. Bart is 1774. So the historical Bart works like a charm. My fiance and I listened to this while going to bed, and after only a couple nights, we're falling asleep faster than ever. Orangino Scootershire from the U.S. It says, fell asleep before I could write a review. 5 stars. This one is from Updates R. A. Piece of Growth. ZZZZ's best. Scoots on nights when I need to slow my brain down. Always calm my neurons in less than 45 minutes. Husband said, who is this, you dude? Used to make fun of the rambling. Then one night at 4 a.m., he was tossing and turning, and fell asleep to it. Love the Count Chocula episode, GOT episodes, and Ray episode, and Universal Pools. Enjoy all the guests and other podcasts, other guests. Thanks, Scooter. Keep up the good work. Aubrey says, fantastic. Struggle with having to sit with my thoughts. Having someone to distract me helps. Advertising portion of the show is not obtrusive in any way. It really just blends in with the rest of the podcast. Thanks, Scoots. And this podcast is a joy. Thank you. Foster 501. I don't know if you're a button fly, Foster. Hardy har har. Isn't that the Levi's 501? Are those the buttonfly jeans? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Rarely make it past the intro. Made my nights to sleep since finding this podcast. Amazing. Thank you. Miss Miss Grisius. That makes sense. That rhymes. It surprisingly worked the first time I listened. Doesn't work every time, but it sure does help. Perfect for me. As I need to be caring... is I need to care enough about, take my mind off of stuff, but not too much that I'm invested in staying up and listening. E-Hawk 1. I don't know I don't think this is Ethan Hawk. Maybe this is like Eleanor Hawk. or Evangeline Hawk, Edgar Hawk, Alan Hawk. It's a yes from me. I have trouble falling asleep. Helps me sleep every time. Scooter's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Here's someone. I just, when I see this one, I wonder if they're related to Sonic, even though it says Hedgie 2000 with an IE. I don't know why my brain would say, huh, I wonder if that person knows Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, I guess because Hedgie was, it would be like a pet name for, or for, like, if you were dating a hedgehog named, I guess if you're dating someone named Hedgehog, you'd, or you'd say, my little Hedgie, come over here. Give me a little. Do they have quills? I never know that. Anyway, Hedgie 2000 says, I don't know, man. 5 stars. I have no idea, but it works every time. And then a sandwich, a jellyfish witch says it's magic. I deal with chronic insomnia, medication to sleep, and I still have trouble with ADHD. First time I listened, fell asleep in 35 minutes. Second time, I have no idea because I was asleep and woke up 8 hours later. Scooter was still talking. Incredible. I don't have a chance, to let my thoughts build up about getting not getting enough sleep. Scooter's voice is soothing. I don't even have to listen to the words, just the sound of it. Recommending it to everyone. Thanks, Jelly. And, all your jelly, if I was in the UK and I used that slang properly, which I don't know if I did. But thank you so much for the support. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people that support the show directly via sponsors, Patreon, merch, live shows. That's what enables us to keep the show free and not behind a paywall. And what else? So, people spreading the word is a huge way to keep the show. It just helps people find out about the show or podcasts in general. Speaking of which, I want to let you know about a podcast right now. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. Some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.